You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, man. Well, let's just get into it here. It's getting up the topics. So
it's been a month for me.
Do you even know what show this is?
86? I don't know.
No, not what app, what like show you're on.
Oh, yeah, this is Inside the Cylinder.
It is Inside the Cylinder.
Nice.
Episode, I believe 91 or 92, man. We're getting up there. We're close to 100.
Doesn't matter,
but...
The 100th episode does matter, actually.
Yes, it definitely does.
We'll get a nice bottle or something for that.
Yeah, we'll do like a 100th episode, mailbag-a-palooza type of thing.
Yeah, that might be right around the time that the Pistons clinch the playoffs. That could be huge.
Whoa, spoiler to maybe one of our topics here. But yeah, Inside the Cylinder, your go-to Detroit Pistons podcast. David Fernandez here, joined as always by Joey Mack. You know, you did have a little siesta during the holidays, but that's all good. But you're locked in 2020 mode, though, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been on this podcast, I think, in 2020.
Well,
actually, no, I haven't.
We've only had two, I believe.
Yeah,
one.
I haven't. Sorry about that. No, I am. I'm definitely locked in 2020. Big year, new Pistons, new me, and. Also, go vote for Derrick Rose for the All-Star game.
Dude, it's
you
closed.
Thought about it.
It's closed.
You heard other... What's that?
It's closed.
Is it?
Can't vote anymore.
Well, then you should have voted for D. Rose for the All-Star game. Because we all thought about it, and we all talked about it, and we told our friends. But some of us actually didn't vote for him, and that's really sad. And I'm in Chicago, and it'd be a beautiful homecoming to get him back here. And he's been balling, and we'll talk about that later. But that was a PSA that didn't really work out because it's post the deadline. But regardless, that's an early episode D. Rose shout out.
But also, like, shame on you, too. I voted for him. I did my part.
Yeah, and Luke and Andre, of course.
Of course. But yeah, as I said, Pistons, you know, you can find us on DetroitBadBoys.com. You can find us on lineups.com/podcast. Follow us on Twitter at InsideTheCylndr. And yeah, man, I mean, right now, just to set the stage, the Pistons are sitting at 16-28. They went 2-1 in their last three games. They had a big win over the Celtics during that span. Probably their best game of the season that I've seen. Joe, what are your thoughts on that? We don't need to go too far into it, but...
Yeah, it was a great win.
Yeah, they were balling. And then they did have... They're coming off a disappointing loss to the Wizards, who they simply can't beat in Washington. And the Wizards have, frankly, you know, for the most part, owned Detroit over the past damn near decade. They're still
seven straight losses to Washington in Washington, I believe.
Yeah, I believe so. Seven straight losses. That's bad. Maybe more, man, because they haven't won since 2014 is what I saw. Something like that.
I think it might be eight losses, straight losses now. I believe it was seven losses going into that game.
Well, the Wizards stink and the Pistons can't beat them. So that's, you know, definitely not a great thing, but it is what it is. If your team tank, then that's exactly what you want. But upcoming for the Pistons, they got the Kings, which you'll probably listen to sometime the day that you're hearing this podcast. Grizzlies and Cavs all at home. Then they go to the Nets. I bring up the Nets because the Nets are currently in the eighth seed. They've lost eight of their last 10 games, and Detroit is just three games back of the final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. We'll touch on that a little bit later as well. But that's all I got right now for Joe in Pistons news. Joe, you got anything for the people?
Reggie Jackson should be back soon. That is TBD. I think he's questionable game in and game out at this point. I don't know what that means, but hopefully soon.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that they're even like doing that sort of game of like he's a game time decision or he's a. It's like the man's been out for the whole season pretty much. Just bring him back when he's ready. Like, don't let us know he's a game time. Don't. I mean, I guess you have to for the report, the pregame report, but it just seems like this like weird, unnecessary tease where they have mentioned that he was going to possibly return soon. But, you know, it's an 82-game season. You got to fill up some content in there, I guess.
Yeah, true. And they desperately need him because Tim Frazier is not very good. So, yeah, that's pretty much it, I think, for news.
Yeah, good call on that Reggie Jackson stuff. But let's get into this.
Should we touch on him, like his like role coming back from you know, injury? Like, do you want him to start, or do you think we're all in consensus that he's going to probably be coming off the bench? You know, on like a minute's restriction, we'll keep D-Rose in the starting lineup. Is that even really a conversation at this point?
I mean, I think it can be, kind of depending on, you know, where you want to see Derrick Rose's minutes, you know, sort of prioritize. If you still want him on that minutes restriction, or if you prefer him to be coming off the bench. You know, I mean, just not to do like an I told you so, but I mean, we did have episodes back earlier this season where your boy did say, you know, I would seriously consider Derrick Rose as a starter when Reggie Jackson returns. And I'm definitely on that boat. I mean, Derrick Rose has looked great all season long. He's looked great as a starter these last few games. So I don't think that you want to mess that up. And I kind of just like, you know, Derrick Rose has looked good. Reggie Jackson's coming off an injury. So why mess with that, in my opinion?
I completely agree. I think he comes off the bench and, you know, he's reportedly around 100%. I don't know what 100% means, but he's running in practices and on his own like he would if he were fully healthy. So, you know, let's assume that he's pretty close to that point
in Jackson, time, that is?
Yeah, Reggie Jackson. Conditioning's always been a concern with him, and that's going to take some time. So if you run him a fast 15 minutes a game, then he can, you know, just he can utilize all of his energy in a condensed period of time, which is using him more effectively, and then gradually you can increase his minutes. And why mess up a good thing? D-Rose is playing well.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to note about Jackson is that Dwayne Casey had said that he's looked great in practice. He's, you know, talking a lot of smack, and he's been dunking on guys. But we heard similar stuff in the summertime, and, you know, it only took about three games before everyone's watching Reggie Jackson thinking, something's wrong here. Like, I mean, he must have aggravated something, you know, in an acute fashion, unless it was just like the tendonitis or something like that was going on, where it was just, you know, chronic, and that's just something that's going to flare up every now and then. It's kind of hard to tell with Reggie at this point. You know, I mean, I'm not necessarily confident that, oh, if Reggie Jackson returns this time around, that he's going to be sticking around for the remainder of the season. You know, we've seen, you know, acute injuries, we've seen chronic injuries, we've seen him look good for a little bit. I mean, he looked great last year. He played 82 games, but it's just not something where I'm confident at this point, you know, having watched Reggie Jackson throughout his career in Detroit.
Yeah, you have to wait and see with him. And also, like, how you look in practice or during workouts, like, the explosiveness is much different than an actual NBA game requires. And if you remember correctly, like, I believe the last play that he had before he was like taken out and put on the injury list was his dunk, like his monster dunk through the lane against I don't know who it was, but
that's what, know, I remember I remember there being a dunk and it being like, oh, okay, now he's legitimately limping.
Yeah, exactly. So can he produce those semi sort of explosive plays that you know, live NBA games required without like tweaking a back injury, because those are fickle. But no really use in analyzing that, because I guess we'll have to just wait and see. But we're all excited to have him back because it's some necessary scoring, and we've been struggling a bit to figure out point guard with you know, Bruce Brown, Tim Frazier, and what have you. So looking forward to that, and hopefully the next time we record we can talk about the return of Reggie.
Just quick question, Joe. Now, I guess for the one thing where he might, you know, we're not necessarily concerned about Tim Frazier, obviously. Are you concerned at all about him, you know, Jordan Bone? We've only seen him for four games so far. Still was a second round pick, still part of that sort of, you know, developmental young core that you're hoping is going to keep getting better with time. Do you feel any inclination, you know, from a 22-year-old in Jordan Bone that you want to see him a little bit more this year in Detroit, and that Reggie might, you know, interfere with that if you were going down like the tank route, or you're just like, you know, Jordan Bone will get his time when it's his time type of thing?
I feel like Jordan Bone will get his time when it's his time, if he has a time, as like a second round pick in an athletic guy, but still extremely raw. I think he's the type of player that does require some extra time in the developmental league to like work out and work and fine tune his game. So I by no means think that he, you know, should be getting a significant amount of minutes. And it's, I don't know, Tim Frazier's not very good, but he is a veteran guy, probably a good locker room guy. And so I understand what Dwayne Casey's doing from that aspect. And I don't think, you know, him and the coaching staff are invested in any sort of tank right now. I think they're sort of trying to ride this wave and see if they can close that gap between, you know, them and the Nets and try to make a playoff push.
Yeah. Okay. Just thought I'd throw that out there. So moving on to our next topic, we did just want to, you know, I guess some of the news that had came out earlier this year, last week, was about Andre Drummond, which is actually earlier this year as well. Andre Drummond trade rumors have died down quite a bit. We're not sure which team, if it was the Pistons or the Hawks, but somebody nixed a deal with the Hawks that was centered around either Chandler Parsons and Allen Crabbe in a first-round pick from Atlanta for Andre Drummond. Now, that trade was shot down. I think some people are more so assuming that it was Atlanta that shut it down. And this all came from Chris Haynes, by the way. And then also it was reported that teams are not interested in dishing out a first-round pick for Andre Drummond. So, you know, as we're only 2 weeks left until the trade deadline, at first it was looking very likely. I mean, we were talking like it was 99% sure that Andre Drummond was going to be traded. Now it's more so feeling like that pendulum has swung completely to the other side, and that Detroit's going to definitely have Andre Drummond post-trade deadline. He'll be a Piston for at least the remainder of the year. Joe, what are your thoughts, I guess, on where we're at with the Jandre Drummond situation right now?
Well, it's a complex situation because of the potential contract that he's actually going to get. We don't really know how much he's worth on the open market. I did hear a rumor that Atlanta was serious about trading for him, but wanted to sign him for a contract worth around $20 million a year annually. And that's something that Andre Drummond wasn't open to. He does want to test the market and get wined and dined and go through that entire process, because this is probably last time that that will happen for him. And because of the fact that they couldn't sign him at that $20 million a year contract, it just wasn't in their best interest to trade a first round pick to him for him, which completely makes sense. So I think if I were any team, I wouldn't trade for him, because you can pick him up in the off season, and because I do think that the market's going to dictate, well, the market is going to dictate what he's worth, and I think it's going to drive his worth down lower than what it might appear to be right now. So you don't have to give anything up, and you can get him at a cheaper price than you would expect to get him at this point in time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the biggest situation here for opposing teams or just other teams is that they don't know what Andrej's going to do in the offseason. Like, is he going to opt in to his final year of his deal, which is roughly $28 million? Like, do they want that? Would they rather have that type of situation, like you mentioned, Joe, where there's like an unspoken agreement that he's going to decline that deal or decline that final year, but also sign a more long-term type of contract at a lower per year, price tag. It makes sense. You know, you're a young team like Atlanta. You are not good. You're going to miss the playoffs. You're bound for the lottery. Why would you trade away, either your first-round pick, which is not likely, or that Brooklyn first-round pick that they had for, a possible three-month rental of Andre Drummond? Like, that doesn't seem like something that Atlanta, who's really been doing this the right way when it comes to the rebuild, like taking on some bad money but picking up assets. Like, they've really gone about this methodically, that they're not going to force this situation with Andre Drummond when, as you mentioned, Joe, they'll have a shot at him in the offseason if he does decline that final year of his deal. Joe, what would your thoughts be if Andre opts in and then he's a Piston for next year? Are you, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, I don't think he will opt in just because of like the nature of $28 million guaranteed versus, say, even if he was signed at a discount, $80 million guaranteed, like barring injury. I just don't think that he would do that. If he did, I wouldn't mind. It'd be like, we have Andre for one more year, and then we're not going to re-sign him after that, and let's just hope that he balls out next year to get a new contract. I think we have pretty solid leverage with him, and I also believe that the ownership in the front office has come to terms with the fact that we are moving in a different direction from Andre. If for whatever reason he wants to take a discount to stick with the Pistons, and he has mentioned publicly that he wants to retire a Piston, who knows if that's completely true, but he does seem like a pretty, like, I don't know, humble sort of low-key guy that would just want to stick around in the same place. But if he does want to do that, then he's gonna have to make some personal concessions. So I think that's not the best case scenario, but that would also be a low risk in the short term, and also maybe you can possibly trade him next year again. So maybe you could get some value out of him. But I've personally come to terms with the fact that there's a pretty high likelihood that we are not going to trade him and get any value for him, and that we're not going to sign him in the offseason, so we're not going to get anything in return.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, if they were to, if he were to opt in, hypothetically speaking, and you traded him early in the year, that's essentially more value than if you were to trade him right now to opposing team, just because they'd at least know that they'd have him for the majority of the year compared to, this 3 month rental that we're talking about right now. The Andre Drummond situation's, it's going to be really, really interesting because the 2020 free agent class is not great. Everyone's been talking about this 2021 free agency class, with Giannis and I don't even have a bunch of the names in front of me right now, but yeah, I just know that that's really what everyone has been, eyeing, is that big 2021 class. Andre Drummond could potentially be the big fish in a little pond, but at the same time, teams have historically not valued traditional centers like Andre Drummond. He's been a pretty good defender. He's improved in that regards. He's made, slight adjustments and improved throughout the years offensively as well. But, there's a good chance that he could decline and then still not really be happy with what's going to happen in the free agency market, just kind of depending on how teams value him. So it'll be really interesting. I think it's just something that we're going to have to watch, because I agree, Joe. I don't see them moving him for pennies, and I don't see them, I mean, that's really all that the, I just don't see them moving him at this point unless someone comes around and offers them a trade that they can't refuse, and I don't see that happening either.
Yeah, I think this is just what we're stuck with. And he also hasn't been playing fantastic recently. I mean, you know, 15 and 15, I guess, but that's a bit deceiving with the turnovers. He had 9 against Washington. He had 5 against Boston, 3 against New Orleans, 3 against Atlanta. I believe he's 7th in the league in turnovers, which as a big man is really bad.
He's averaging 17 and 16, though, essentially this year.
Points and rebounds wise?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, in the last, like, couple of games.
Okay,
During these trade conversations, he hasn't done us any favors to maintain value or increase value. And a lot of that is just decision-making with the ball, and that is the harp on him sometimes, is, like, his discipline. So, you know, we'll see. I just think we have to come to the terms of the fact that he's going to be on the team this year, and then we'll see what happens in the offseason.
All right, well, let's move on then to a new topic and another trade conversation. Definitely a more, fiery, hot off the press, more attractive trade target in Derrick Rose. You know, it has been reported recently that the Lakers and Sixers are interested in Derrick Rose, as are other contenders. I guess, Joe, what were your thoughts initially when you just saw that these reports coming out that Derrick Rose is, you know, being discussed in trade rumors?
Well, it's sad to me because he's playing so well, and I have, like a lot of NBA fans, and specifically a lot of Chicago fans, just a soft spot for D. Rose and his journey coming back from injuries. And he has really found himself in a good situation basketball-wise to thrive and be the guy and be a leader. Unfortunately, the injury situation has, you know, massively flipped this season over on its head, and so we're not where we want to be. But I think, like, mentally, he is where he wants to be from a basketball perspective. So it is sad to see that both of those things happen at the same time. The fan in me doesn't want to see him traded, but I understand that from, like, a 2 to 3 to 4 years down the road perspective, it does make sense. I mean, I guess where's your head at with these rumors flying around?
I mean, it's definitely complicated. I too have followed the Derrick Rose saga, and, you know, cautiously excited for his, you know, tenure here in Detroit, but he's way outperformed anything that I could have expected. He's played awesome. He's been a lot of fun to watch. He's made, even during these, like, losing stretches and losing streaks and, you know, all the injuries that have happened this year with this Pistons team, it's still been a lot of fun to watch this team, and it's mainly because of, you know, guys like Derrick Rose and, you know, some of the development of the younger guys. So, I mean, from that perspective, you know, definitely it hurts to potentially see him moved, especially to, like, the Sixers, which are one of the teams being named. Even and the Lakers too, like, you know, like the rich get richer type of situation. But at the same time, I mean, this is kind of the best case of a worst case scenario for Detroit, because his trade value is at an all-time high. Like, they got him on a steal of a deal this offseason. You don't necessarily know how long he's going to be this healthy for, just based on his career so far. You know, he's 31 years old. He plays pretty athletically still. And this is now could be a good time to, you know, push the button and see if you can, move him and see if you can, build towards the future. And so I think that that's what Detroit, should they get a deal that they like, I think that's what they have to do, because I'm more so concerned about being a really good team 3 years down the road, 4 years down the road. And I think this is one of those types of moves that you, you know, have to make if you're trying to be that type of team.
Yeah, the offer just might be too good to refuse. Like, I think there's a sentimentality, like, within the coaching staff in the front office towards him. And I've heard rumors that there's a handshake agreement between D. Rose and the front office that they will not trade him unless he gives them the okay. I think that's part of, like, the sweetheart deal that we gave him in the offseason. And I'm pretty sure those are, like, verified rumors.
Yeah, I think they said unless he requested to be traded. Like, not even, like, would he be okay, hey, let's present it to you. Although they're clearly having these talks. But, yeah, I mean, essentially it sounds like it's, like, a no-trade clause, but it's not a real no-trade clause.
I think they'll have a very honest conversation with him and be like, what do you want? And we will follow through with that.
Arne Tellem was his agent, and, you know, he's a senior leader on at the Pistons right now. So it makes sense that there would be that type of, you know, shake, shake, wink, wink type of situation.
Which is awesome. It's really cool to me that they do have that relationship. And I think it does say a decent amount about the franchise when you're willing to be that respectful of a player who has the reputation that D. Rose has in the league. And I think that I hope that that's reflective towards the rest of the league. It would be sad to me because of I think that the leadership that he provides within the locker room and for the young guys and how fun he is to play with and like how much it means to him and how that rubs off on the younger players. Obviously, he's not as much of a vocal leader, but like he just has heart. And you know, I'm glad that he could at least rub some of that off on the younger guys for this much of this season. I would love to see it for the rest of the season and potentially into next year as well when we can actually make a playoff push. But if there's a deal like Kuzma out there, and I'm not the biggest Kuzma guy, but that's about the tip of the iceberg in terms of young, talented players. And he's also a Michigan native that you can get for D. Rose. That's kind of tough to say no to.
So right now, Kyle Kuzma is, and you know, he's, people either love him or really don't think that highly of him. For his career, he's averaging 16.6 points per game, 5.5 boards, 2 assists. Those numbers are down. He did start off the season injured, so he did miss a few games to start the season, but his averaging 13 points, 4 boards, 1 assist. For the year this year, he's shooting 43% from the field, 34% from three. So, you know, he's been a pretty good player. He's kind of like punches and bunches. Like, he'll either ball out for a few games in a row, or he's, you know, type of player who's already scored 40 points as a, you know, third year player. And but he's also a guy that has stretches where he doesn't perform well, where he looks disengaged, looks like he's, you know, just not necessarily all mentally there and locked in like you'd want a young potential star to be. So but you're right, Joe. I mean, I think from like a package perspective, that's going to be the highest offer that you're going to get, and from the, you know, from a potential from the Lakers. And I mean, I don't know if Detroit would be able to say no to that.
Yeah, I wonder if he's the type of player that can refine his game once he leaves LA, like we've seen with D'Angelo Russell and Brandon Ingram, and the jury's still out on Lonzo Ball. But I think like getting away from that scene and the media and just that whole tornado of activity, that might be a good thing for him. You know, he's stopped hanging around the Jenners, or, you know, I don't know, he's like dating Vanessa Hudgens or something, and like he can really just focus on basketball, and that might be the best step for his basketball career, as opposed to a guy that can just light up the box score like you said some nights and then just disappear and not provide you with much outside of the offensive side of the ball.
I mean, in Detroit, we care a lot less about your fit check like what you're wearing walking into the stadium than they do in LA. Like, that's not going to be like, I think that's on his mind a lot in LA because that's talked about there. Like in Detroit, no one gives a fuck what you're wearing. So
no one cares.
No one cares. but also, I mean, one thing to about him that I guess is one of my questions is he kind of plays the same position as Sekou. Like, Sekou's going to be a it seems already seems like he's more defensively aware than Kuz. I mean, that's kind of hard to say because Sekou gets lost there sometimes. But you can just tell that Sekou's going to be a better defensive player than Kuzma will ever be. They're both, like, big, lanky, tall, power forwards. I would not want to see Kuzma at the three. I guess you could probably put Sekou at the three. I think Svi's
at three.
Sekou?
Oh, Sekou. Sorry, I thought you said Svi.
No, Sekou. Yeah. Sekou. So, I mean, I guess that's one of the things where it's like they kind of play the same role. I'm not necessarily sure if that's something that you worry about right now with the Pistons being where they're currently situated. But one of the things I thought about, but I guess for me that would be one of the trades where I would pretend – I would say yes. And what would you say, Joe, if you were, like, you know, in charge of Pistons leadership, even knowing how much you love Derrick Rose? Even if that – I mean, that might carry you to your decision anyway, so.
That's a trade that really scares me. And I think you bring up a great point with Sekou, too. I wouldn't want that to hinder his development in any way, shape, or form. If D. Rose wanted to go to L.A., then I'd say yes.
Okay. All right. I won't push it. so there's another...
And he's a Michigan guy.
Yeah, he is. He is. And I think he would excite the fan base. But, you know, I understand why people are cold about him. You know, but people were also cold about Brandon Ingram. So, I mean, I think you bring up a good point. The one thing with Kyle Kuzma, he's not young. I mean, he's 24 years old. You know what I mean? Like, he's not like a... He's 2 years younger than Andre Drummond. So, I think that says something where, I don't know. I mean, if you have a reason to be concerned, it's that he's been in the league for 3 years now. He's already 24 years old. You usually know what guys are by that point in their career. So, I mean, that's one I would understand if you were concerned about that. And you didn't want to make the move. You'd rather just hold on to Derrick Rose. It's tough. It's been a roller coaster here in Detroit. I guess that's
what... Is he just Jordan Clarkson? You know what I mean? Is that what he is? Like a guy like who big, ends up scoring...
Like power forward Jordan Clarkson?
Well, no, just from like a skill set standpoint. Just he can score 14, 15 off the bench for you, and that's pretty much all that you're going to get out of this guy. Like, he's not the young guy with... like loads of potential. I think that he's kind of scratched the ceiling. It's the same thing with Jordan Clarkson. He's good, but he's capped out with like what we saw. And Jordan Clarkson's only a couple of years older than him. And
yeah. I guess with Kuzma, the one thing that gives you hope is that there are like he was just on a stretch where he was putting up, you know, 27, 25, 30. Like he went on like a tear there for like three or four games in a row. And I mean, he has shown that sort of real high level scoring that is not a lot of guys possess in this league. So, I mean, it's kind of how much you value that, honestly, right? Like, I mean, it's a good question. All right, let's move on from Kyle Kuzma. So the other team that was mentioned was the Sixers. And the Sixers, surprisingly, and I was kind of, you know, I guess a little taken aback when I was looking up Matisse Thybulle's stats, because I've watched him play and I've really liked him when I've seen him. You know, any Sixers game that I've seen, he's really jumped out to me as a solid defender. He looks like he would fit in with like that sort of Detroit mentality. He's shown an ability to hit the three. I think he's hitting it from 38% from three this year. And more than Zaire Smith, Matisse Thybulle is, you know, what the Sixers seem to be higher on. Like, he's been playing, you know, pretty much almost every game this year for them. He's only averaging, you know, this is where I was a little taken aback. He's only averaging 4.7 points, 1.6 rebounds, 1.3 assists. but and he's also 22 years old. But I mean, he seems like one of the more high level guys that you'd be getting from the Sixers in a trade. Joe, any thoughts on that, or is that just like an easy no for you?
That's not an easy no. I heard that they didn't want to trade him.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't think they do want to trade him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's from a Pistons perspective. That's probably a yes.
Yeah, I guess that, because. Sorry, let me reframe that real quick. Yeah. This would be the guy that I think if you're the Pistons trading away a Derrick Rose to contender level like the Sixers, you can be like, Matisse or it's nothing. Like, he's their, sure. Like, he's one of their better young prospects. And I think that you have that leverage. If, you know, it's either that or the highway. And that's what I would want Detroit to ask for from the Sixers. And I'm a big absolutely. Fan of what I've seen from him.
Yeah, same. And he's like an elite defensive guy. He's one of the better players defensively in the league. That's the reason why he was drafted so high, and that's been his reputation you know, since his days at Washington. So that is why I don't think that they want to get rid of him, because they want to put him on the other team's best offensive player in the playoffs. And if we could trade for a guy like that and just have him be our defensive stopper at the perimeter, then that's one thing that you've taken care of, and he's still young, and you know, you're trading for an effort player, which like I always feel better about than playing for more of like a diva-ish offensive player. Especially, I don't know, just like with our track record with gritty defensive guys in Detroit, I would feel much better with the mentality that he would bring to the locker room.
I mean, he's already shooting 38% from three. He's already a lockdown defender. I mean, he has some, like, plays when you see, like, you know, just shut down his man, seal the ball, go jam it in transition on the other end. Like, he's a really good athlete, 6'5", 200 pounds. I would be, you know, pretty smitten if they were able to get him. But, you know, I think that's what you have that leverage with how well Derrick Rose has been playing. And, you know, especially with a team like the Lakers, like the Sixers, this Derrick Rose is one of those trade pieces that you are literally doing, or one of those trades that you make if you're those teams, to win yourself a championship. Like, that's what they have to be thinking when they're talking about trading for Derrick Rose. And I think the Pistons definitely understand that they have at least some sort of leverage, knowing that they essentially have to get it okayed with Derrick, I guess, but still, you know, that there's a lot of leverage there, knowing that you hold a potential game-changing piece on your roster.
And also a little bit of leverage just because we aren't fully into sell mode with him. Like, there is this potential that he wants to stick around. There is potential that we want to keep him around next year just to develop a little bit more, and he seems comfortable there, and the coaching staff likes him, so this isn't like fire sale mode. Let's see what we can get with him while we can. Although his values is at a much higher than we originally expected. I think that there are just other things that we value with him outside of the points that could provide us with that leverage to get better assets than we otherwise would.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, you mentioned it earlier, I believe, that Derrick Rose, he went to the front office and he said that he wanted a larger role on this team. They put him in as a starter. There's a good chance that Derrick Rose is happy in this situation. He's happy to be leading a team. He's happy to be, you know, earning and, you know, definitely earning that starting spot. And, you know, he's not coming off the bench anymore. And I think that there's a good chance that he's just like, hey, you know, I want to ride this out in Detroit and see what I can do and see if I can, you know, maybe not lead this team to the playoffs this year and make it interesting. But, you know, next year, once we get Blake back, that type of situation, let's see what we can do. Let's see if we can cause some damage. So, I mean, I you know, he's played amazing. You know, there's nothing you can really say about that. But it's, you do have to put in perspective that you would be selling on Derrick Rose at his probably highest value So, you know, it's just another element of this being very complicated stuff for Detroit right now.
But, yeah. But this one's fun just because it was unexpected to this extent of how well he's been playing. And he's, like, a top five to eight storyline in the year, in the league this year, which is awesome. And, you know, I do wonder if there's anything in the back of his mind that is considered, like, sticking around Detroit past this contract. Like, he is 31. He has bounced around the league a little bit and, you know, was arguably out of the league at one point. He's found himself a home. It is in the Midwest. He does have family in Detroit. It's not that far away from Chicago. It has the mentality that he likes. We do have some decent young pieces.
We need a point guard.
need a point guard, yeah. Is there anything in his back of his mind? Well, hey, I could be like a 34-year-old backup point guard on a team that can potentially contend, you know, in the East. Possibly. You know, who knows? I guess I really think that
I agree, man. I think that could definitely be something that would be in his head right now. But we did mention it. Let's move on from D. Rose. You know, so the playoffs, we mentioned it a little bit earlier this episode, you know, where the Pistons stand. I also mentioned it when, Shamik was on the last episode. But Joe, what are your thoughts on the playoff push? They're, as I said earlier, they're 3 games back of the 8th-seeded Nets. I think they're 4 games back of the 7th-seeded Magic. I'd have to look into that, but what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are this. I think it's about what do you prioritize right now. There's a camp that prioritizes a higher draft pick. There's a small camp that prioritizes the playoffs. And then there's another camp that prioritizes, like, developing our young players. Like, tanking isn't just tanking. Tanking is developing and rebuilding in a variety of different ways. It's not just losing games to get a higher draft pick. My priority is to develop the young players as much as possible. And if these young players play well, and that means that we win games, then I'm down. I don't care if we get the 8th seed or the 9th seed or we get the 13th pick as opposed to the 9th pick. That's not really my focus right now, because, you know, that could be hit or miss either way. And I'm, based on what I've heard, this isn't that deep of a draft class anyway. So my focus is hey, let's give Sekou a shot. Let's give Svi a shot. Let's run Seawood out there. Let's get these guys some play. And if they play well and we make the playoffs, then so be it. And I'm fine with that. It will be interesting once Reggie Jackson comes back and once, like, Blake is sort of on the fringe of coming back, what happens at that point in time. But I don't know. I'm just not, like, die hard, like, go for the playoffs or die hard, like, tank. I am just excited to see our young guys getting time and showing flashes of what they could potentially be in the future. And this is valuable developmental time for them.
Yeah. I mean, it just mirror exactly what you said. You know, it's you don't want to just tank for the sake of tanking. You know, I don't think that would be good for how the city views the Pistons. You know, I don't think that they could really handle that from, like, a PR perspective, honestly, if you're just going Sixers route. That's pretty much dead too, by the way, and they, NBA has done their part in flattening out the lottery odds. So, you know, we saw the Pelicans, who weren't that bad of a team last year, jump and get the number one pick. So, you know, I don't think that they need to, like, do a fire sale, but at the same time, the reason that this has been one of the better stretches of Detroit Pistons basketball over the past decade is because you're actually seeing some hope, and you're seeing some, you know, we've talked about this team hiring Dwayne Casey, hiring Sean Sweeney, making emphasis on player development, and you're already seeing good things happen with that, with you know, Luke Kennard earlier this year, and with what we've seen from Svi, what we've seen from, you know, the flyer on Christian Wood, Saku, like all of these great things have been happening, or good things, you know, where it just gives you hope, and I think that you just ride that out, and if Derrick Rose gets you some jams to Christian Wood and takes over a few games and you wind up with the 8 seed and you get stomped by the Bucks again, fine. Just let it happen and take your licks, Saku. Like, hopefully that will... I do think there is value, even if you do get crushed in the playoffs, to make it. So, yeah, I mean, I agree, Joe. I think it'll be tough. I think it's a lot tougher than what it looks like, just being back 3 games, because they're still have quite a few more losses than the Nets do, too. But at the same time, you know, I if they go for it and they make it, I mean, that would be a really exciting stretch of basketball for them to go on that type of run towards the end of the year. Yeah, man, I mean, that's all I got right now.
Yeah, that's all I got too. And I guess, like, right now I'm just watching games hoping that they win. Like, I want guys to play well. I want them to win games. And it has been fun to watch D Rose with, like, these younger players. And there's some fun chemistry there, and it's like not the same old, well, what two guys are going to score on offense, like who are, like, the same two guys we run plays for, like isolation basketball, like the ball's moving and like guys are running, we're running, like, you know, Saku's running fast breaks, he's running the floor, like all of that stuff is really fun to watch. And it looks like even if they're losing games, at least the, you know, the most recent stretch, that they're having a lot of fun out there and rooting each other on. And, you know, this guys like, Svi, second round pick, Christian Wood, he just got a guaranteed contract this year and now he knows he's about to make some money. Like, it's fun for, like, these younger players to, like, get to that point in time.
Bruce Brown, too, man. Shout out Bruce Brown. I haven't even talked about him.
Yeah, it's another young guy.
I agree, man. It's weird. They're losing games, but it's still fun. And that's cool. And you know, we'll be here to break it all down with you again next week. We're back. It's 2020. We're locked in. Pistons are locked in. You can find us on DetroitBadBoys.com. You can find us on lineups.com/podcast. I will be writing some more articles for the Bad Boys here soon. So keep an eye out for those. And we'll catch you next week.
Any topics in mind?
No, I'm just going to probably just write some post-game recaps or some previews or something like that. If I do have something that I wanted to discuss, but that's, you know, I'm still kind of working that around in my head.
Nice. Cool.
All right, yeah. Peace.
All right, peace.